Do you love great podcasts? Do you love great Australian podcasts? Of course you do. Australians make incredible podcasts. And if you want to stay up to date with the best Australian shows, then check out Oz Podcasts. Look for us on social media and find your new favourite show from the Australian podcast directory on ozpodcast.com.au. That's OZPODCASTS, ozpodcast.com.au. Check it out.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now. Holding brain hands.
Welcome to episode 294 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 21st of June 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Steve, Jen, and myself, Andrew. And today on the show, Gus Buckner from Yucky.com and Michael Santabanese from Anapad.com. G'day, Brad. How are you today on this Saturday?
I am going fantastic. And yourself, Andrew?
Not too bad, my friend. Not too bad. There's a little bit of rain outside, but it's generally not a bad day out here in Melbourne.
Nice one, mate. Nice one. How's your week been? Anything exciting happened to you or anything you want to report on? Or?
Oh, actually, yeah, a little bit exciting. We had one of our third-party app that we'd been working on about a month or two ago got released through to the App Store. It's called What Time. It's basically a soccer app for FIFA, and it just tells you what time all of the games are in your time zone. So it's just a very simple one-page app, but it does a really good job.
Oh,
so
sweet.
We were happy about that. That was just for a customer, a little job that we did. And, yeah, that got released this week after a few copyright issues.
All right.
Into the App Store, so that was a little bit exciting.
Nice one. What was that called again?
It's called What Time Football Schedule.
Nice
one. So, yeah, it's only on iPhone at the moment, but if you chuck it in, it's quite small, so it's not like the normal FIFA 2014 app, which is, you know, 80 megabytes and full of bloated stuff. It just tells you literally, you know, in your time zone what time the games are on.
Wicked, wicked. Good stuff, good stuff. Yeah. And also, we're going to welcome QuickFlix. We have an ad on there on this side as well, Tech Webcast on your phone.
Yes, we do, Brad. Quick Flicks this week. I've got an ad up on the site, which is fantastic to see, and it's great collaborating with other Aussie organisations, you know, and startups and so forth. So it's fantastic, Quick Flicks.
Great stuff. And, yeah, just sign up and you get a free month free.
Yep, absolutely. So that's just on the website. Is it what's the website address there, Brad?
Techwebcast.info, also quickflicks.com.au. Just click on the ad on the side there and it'll take you to the sign-up page. Yeah.
Good stuff.
And have you been watching any much on QuickFlix at all, Andrew? Can you recommend any good TV shows? Or
yeah, I have actually. I tend to jump on there and just watch bits and pieces and random stuff. I believe they've got Game of Thrones season 4.
Yep.
This week has started this weekend, I think, on QuickFlix. So, yeah, really great that they've got that sort of coming through if you want to sit there and digest the whole thing. And it's pretty, what is it, 10 bucks a month? It's pretty cheap stuff,
10 bucks,
really,
pretty
if you add it up. And it's, as I said, it's another Aussie having a go in the big wide media world. So jump on and have a look.
Yeah, definitely. All right, good stuff, mate. Okay, Jennifer, welcome back. How are you?
Oh. Hi, I am well. How are you, Brad?
I'm good, thanks. How's your week been?
Are you? It's been pretty good, pretty busy. I guess work, right? I'm planning to go on a trip next week, I won't be on the show next week and just preparing for that. And
nice one.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Good to enjoy your trip. Mm-hmm. Steve, welcome back. You weren't here last week, mate. Welcome. You were way sick.
Yeah, I was like, it was literally like an hour or two before the show. I was getting sick, and in fact, when I knew I couldn't make it, I was like trying to email. I was like, ugh. You know, it was desperate, like to leave. You know, send out the emails, let know I had to cancel the show, and it only lasted maybe 4 or 5 hours, and I was perfectly fine, it seems, but I guess I can't stand my own cooking. I think,
is that what it was?
Bad chicken or something.
Bad chicken, yeah. I don't trust chicken that much anymore. But anyway, you missed last week. Says, so what was your view on the WDC keynote?
I thought that was like a week before that. Yeah, it was great. It had some neat things coming up. Of course, a new developing language.
Yep.
For, you know, developers. Hopefully they're not going to get rid of the other stuff too soon, or if at all. But I don't know. What does Andrew think of it?
Andrew, what was your view on the WWDC? Yeah,
it was good, and more specifically on the new developer language, Swift. I think it's really good, actually. It's cutting down. We've already done a fair bit of playing around with Swift because we're actually working through iOS 8 at the moment, trying to make sure that our platform, Zafo, get it on the App Store, is available and ready for iOS 8. But the Swift development language is really good. It's a lot simpler to work with. So I think it's actually going to help encourage a lot of younger people to embrace app development, which I think is fantastic sort of moving forward if we can have more developers, because it is such a busy space. You know, there's more opportunity than there are developers at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff. Also, we got Gus on. Welcome, Gus.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem, mate. And also, we have Michael on as well. Welcome, Michael.
Yes, thank you very much for having me as well.
No problem, mate. Enjoy the show. And Jennifer, we'll get into some news right now. And we'll just play this real quick.
So thank you for that introduction, Brad. And in the tech news today, our first story is coming from news.com.au. And the title of the story just gets me laughing. It says, Facebook goes down and users are in shock without it. So evidently, the world's most popular social networking site, Facebook, went down the other night across the world, making it so that users cannot log in. So users went to Twitter, of course, to express their angst about Facebook being down after they got the error message from Facebook that said, something went wrong, we're working on this, getting fixed as soon as we can. The outage hit its desktop website, smartphone, and tablet apps, and the site boasts 1.28 billion monthly users, has returned from being unavailable to users for 20 minutes to under an hour. So everyone was using the hashtag Facebook down as they continued to complain about it on Twitter. So if you're interested in seeing any of the tweets, you can go and take a look at hashtag Facebook down. And speaking about being down, the next story is coming from gizmodo.com.au, and it is about Optus and Vodafone. They were experiencing some mobile network outages, and since then, the outages are gone. The system is back up, and if you were one of those that was affected by this outage, to correct it, just turn your phone off and back on again, and it should work, and if not, then call their IT department. And the next story is about Netflix. Netflix, coming from 9to5Mac, Netflix has updated its Apple TV and iOS apps, and it has a brand new design. So this just happened the other night, that Apple TV users would start to see a new channel icon for Netflix as the company recently updated its logo. And now the iPhone and iPad version of the Netflix apps were updated to version 6.0, which includes the new design. The updates to both Apple TV and the iPhone and iPad apps don't bring much else aside from a new logo and some slight design tweaks, but the iOS apps do also include bug fixes and faster video playback, according to Netflix. Also in the news, this is coming from abc.net.au, Game of Thrones, there is a piracy war. Choice says that Foxtel is to blame for illegal downloading of the hit show. So the consumer group called Choice is blaming Foxtel for this, saying that many Australians are watching pirated versions of Game of Thrones, which set a new record for illegal downloads this past Monday night. The season 4 finale was downloaded roughly 1.5 million times in the 12 hours after the show went to air. And this is according to a tracking site called Torrent Freak. That makes it the most pirated show in history, and thousands of Australians were among those watching. Foxtel says that 500,000 Australians actually watch each episode via a paid subscription, while another 500,000 download it illegally, mostly by sharing programs or sharing the episodes with other users through torrenting. Foxtel says that the people that are downloading, they're thieves, and is urging the government to enact legislation that will make it much more difficult to illegally download popular programs, video games, and music. And quote Choice's Aaron Turner is saying that Foxtel, quote, has an outdated business model and can only blame itself. Also says, quote, it expects people to pay for a whole range of products that they that they may want when they want just one. You're getting Real Housewives of every city rather than just Game of Thrones, which you want, she said. It also locks people into viewing content on particular devices. They're developing this. Ultimately, the problem is that there are a few competitors to Foxtel in Australia. So this is an interesting argument, you know. Well, we'll talk about it after the news. I shouldn't go into my editorial part on this right now. So let me go on to the next story, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Next one is coming from TechCrunch.com, and there was some big news coming from Amazon the other day. They announced the $199 Fire Phone, which is the first smartphone with head tracking technology. So the Fire Phone is Amazon's first venture into smartphones, and Jeff Bezos calls it the phone built for the Amazon Prime customer. At first, it looks like any other smartphone currently on the market, but it does have a secret. It actually tracks a user's head. This is done through four-corner mounted front-facing infrared cameras that produces wild 3D effects. But it's not traditional 3D in the sense that the images pop out of the screen. The head tracking tech actually adds depth to the phone. So it's kind of like you're looking down a street, but into your phone screen. There are 3D effects that's a feature of the next-gen user interfaces, and or could be a marketing gimmick, but who knows. The phone is actually exclusive to AT&T right now with a two-year contract and is available for pre-order today. The Amazon Fire Phone will also come with 1 year of free Prime membership, which typically sells for $99. The phone has a 4.7-inch IPS screen, is equipped with 13-megapixel rear-facing camera with image stabilization and a f.2.0 lens. And inside, they have a quad-core 2.2 gigahertz chip, Adreno 330 graphics, and 2 gigs of RAM. Not enough to stand tall against the latest Android flagships, but enough horsepower to provide a decent experience. So definitely check that out if you're interested in the Fire Phone. And another story is coming from gizmodo.com.au, talking about Apple TV and that it can finally unlock its full potential this year. The Apple TV hasn't really evolved that much in the past few years. Sure, it's gotten a handful of new apps, but the format, lockdown, bland, and it's been pretty much the same since its 2010 redesign. But while Apple didn't talk about its set-top box much at the developer conference this past month, it has showed that it finally has the pieces in place to turn Apple's TV into a living room behemoth. Something called seamless syncing. Now, continuity is Apple's tagline for apps that seamlessly sync between Mac and iOS, and it looks to be heading to the Apple TV, according to 9to5 Mac. So what would that mean? Well, imagine walking inside your home while playing a movie on your iPhone, and with one tap, you could pick up where you left off on your Apple TV without actually having to use AirPlay or trying to use your phone to connect to AirPlay to play it on your Apple TV. So that same implementation would also be used for iTunes Radio and can potentially be used for notifications as well, showing you things like who's calling on your phone on your Apple TV, so you don't have to dig into your pocket while you're watching TV. Continuity also allows for your Mac to use your iPhone as a hotspot without having to unlock your phone, which would be great for the Apple TV when you're not on the road. Or actually, when you're on the road, my bad. and total home control, that's another thing. So Apple announced HomeKit at WWDC, which is a collection of tools that is designed to allow you to control automated parts of your home from your iOS device. Things like your thermostat, security system, smart appliances, lights. All of these will be controlled and managed from your iOS 8 device. So if it comes to the Apple TV, it could quickly evolve from a simple entertainment console to actually a command center for your home. You sit down in front of your TV, you can watch a number of different, a number of different devices and appliances around your house. If you're too cold while you're watching Netflix, turn up your thermostat without actually having to reach for your iPhone. So the Apple TV could be the center of your smart home, which is quite an advancement. So a lot of different things coming for Apple TV, at least we think and we're hoping and we're guessing. So stay on the lookout for that. And that is the news, Brad.
Good stuff, Jennifer. Thanks for reading that stories out.
Sure.
Andrew, let's go to this choice story. Now, I talked to you on Twitter about this the other day on Twitter, and we've always got Mox TV involved in this. And what's your view on this?
Yeah, it's always good to have Steve Malkin and get his two cents. He's very much of the opinion, and I know you are as well, Brad, that Foxtel offer a great service, and you know people who are downloading are the devil. And I do agree with that entirely. I think the challenge here. And I'm kind of on the fence with this one. I think the challenge here is people who traditionally have paid $1 or $2 per episode to download it, it's really easy to do. It barely shows up on your phone bill or your credit card, and away you go. Whereas the other option is going out and getting a Foxtel installation. They come and put a box in your house. It costs you $60, $70 a month, and you've got sports if you want that on top. Now I know you can get Foxtel Go, you can get Foxtel Play, you can get them for as little as sort of $30 per month, but I think the average consumer may not really know that may not be something that they're fully aware of. People still have this mindset that Foxtel is about paying for an installation. It's like $100, $200. They come out, they put a box in your house, it's $100 a month by the time you add sport and movies. And I think that's what it's sort of about.
That's completely where the hurdle is. Well, you know, at the moment, Foxtel is doing a really good deal. I mean, there's no installation fee and that sort of stuff.
Oh, they are. They're doing a great deal. I mean, they're really trying to get people on. And I guess the whole idea for what they're doing, as you said, there's no installation fee. They're giving to pretty much half price for 6 months. And what they're doing is they're saying, you know, we have a service. We think it's great. We're going to let you try it almost for free, you know, give you a really easy way to get going. And we think you're going to love it so much that come 6 months from now, you'll pay the full fee, but you'll see that there's real value in doing that. And that's a great business model. I've got nothing against that. As I said, I'm kind of on the fence with this one. I really love the ability that the internet gives us to buy an episode of TV for $2 and stream it. And obviously with Foxtel purchasing Game of Thrones, which they've got every right to do, it's stopping people from doing that in Australia. So if you look at, you know, students and people like this, where they may not even be able to actually install Foxtel in their house because it's their parents' place, you know,
right,
they're just turning to download it.
Well, they can actually get Foxtel Play on. If you can't get that on at the place, you can just download Foxtel Play onto your computer and select your package if you want it, whatever you want.
But as I said, I think there's still a mentality that Foxtel is something that's a box under your TV. I know that Foxtel Play and Foxtel Go exists for the iPad, but I'm not convinced that the general consumer does know that if you knock on 3 doors out of 5, you know, in your street.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. But anyway, I just think it's wrong that people are downloading these shows and, you know, and you can go and buy them from QuickFlix and this sort of thing and, you know. Jennifer,
it is wrong. And look, I mean, that's the problem. You can't go and buy season 4. I mean, you can now because it's finished. But people want to watch it live, they want to watch it straight after, and there was no option for them to do that. So it is wrong. And I think there was a quote in that article from Foxtel saying, I don't know any other place where people think it's right if the product's too expensive. You know, I can't afford a Ferrari at the moment. That doesn't mean I can just walk into a Ferrari dealership and run out with the keys and say, you know what, your model doesn't work for me. So I totally agree with Foxtel on that one. You know, they're trying to run a business like everyone else.
They are indeed, mate. They are indeed. Jen, let's go to Gus first. What's your view on all this, Gus? You there, Gus? Okay, let's go to Michael. You there, Michael?
Yes, I am.
What's your view on them stories? Any...
You know, we don't have, I don't think we have Foxtel in the U.S. So I can't relate too much with you guys, unfortunately, with this.
Well, what's your view on downloading shows and that? Like, you know, downloading shows and not paying for that type of thing, you know?
I think that downloading shows should be something that is very legal and regulated. I feel like in the early 2000s, it was kind of just a free-for-all with like Napster and LimeWire and all that, and the peer-to-peer viewing networks. And I feel like once all those got sort of taken down, I feel like now it should be easier for people to legally download, you know, anything that they want over the internet. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Any other views, Michael, on any stories at all?
On some of the other stories that Jen said?
Yep.
Yeah. So one thing that I really found interesting...
Oh, now that noise has gone away. That's good.
Oh, was there a noise? That was...
Yeah. There was some sort of computer noise or something.
Oh, okay. I think that it was kind of funny, the Facebook going down and everyone kind of in shock and awe.
Yeah. I think it was quite funny, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I feel like Facebook has become such an integral part in so many people's lives. And like Facebook Messenger, I know a lot of people use that instead of texting people. And I think that Facebook really did their job in incorporating their brand into everyone's daily life. So when it went down, I could see that a lot of people kind of freaked out. But... I mean, I don't really use Facebook that much, but I thought it was just funny that everyone was kind of having trouble with it.
I actually messaged Andrew when it happened. And I thought it was just me, but apparently it wasn't everyone else. So, yeah. And yeah, Steve, what about you? What's your any other views? You got any views on these stories?
Yeah, talking a little bit about, I guess, downloading, you know, I guess the news story was with Game of Thrones or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm generally, yeah, it is wrong. Now, TV shows, that's the gray area. Movies, perhaps not. Mm-hmm. But if it's like television series that normally have commercials that kind of pay for it, I'm in the gray area there. But if it's movies, you know, shown in theaters and stuff, maybe not.
Right.
Generally, no, though.
What about music?
Thing is, I think... people see torrenting is bad, and it's inherently not really good or evil. It's because torrenting is just a protocol. And see, I use torrent every once in a while if I got to download like Linux distributions, operating systems that are free anyway.
Right.
And a lot of IP service providers, you know, they say, oh, torrenting, that's, you know, we're going to, you know, block you or, you know, now, if it's not encrypted, they might be able to get some data and say, okay, that is a movie. We'll block you or whatever. Maybe
right.
I could see that. But it kind of puts a bad light on certain things that you have to download large volumes of data, which are legitimate uses. So, you know, so I'm kind of mixed on that.
What about music? Steve, what's your view on music? Do you think it's bad to download music and not pay for it and that sort of thing?
Obviously, I think... it's not right, but right now there's many websites you can go to, like Jamundo or something like that. You can go there and you can actually download it as much music as you want to legally.
Gee, that's all right.
Now, if you use it for commercial purposes, that might be a different story. It depends what kind of common creative license that you have. Some you can actually use for commercial purposes, you know, without using a license. So there are websites you can get this, or the owner even provides it to you to use for free, you know. So there's many avenues you can still use. I mean, now popular music that the artists, you know, make themselves, you know, the well-known ones, Sting or, you know, Evanescence. I can actually say that
Evanescence,
word.
Evanescence, yep. Good band.
So...
Steve, what about cable TV? You use cable TV at home? Have you cut the cable yet?
No, I still have it. Because actually, there's some new series coming out. The season premieres are in, so I got to watch it.
So, do you actually download shows from your cable box and watch it on TV, or how do you? What do you do?
It's not really a DVR, but they actually have many channels. They give you like the 10 most recent episodes.
Okay.
And it comes from, of course, Time Warner. So if you miss it, not everything, just certain, you know, cable channels or whatever. So if I miss like Sleepy Hollow, right, I can, you know, stream it. I don't usually like downloading. I like streaming because, then it's on my hard drive.
Yep. Yep.
But something like that. I do.
Well, that's what I like about Foxtel. You know, if you miss an episode of Game of Thrones or whatever it is, you can just go there, go to the lookup section and download and stream it and watch it. You know, I personally think Foxtel is great value for money in my book, but anyway, it's my opinion. Jennifer, what about you? What's your view on them stories?
Well, in regards to the torrenting one, it really is a challenging situation. Here in the States, for example, Game of Thrones is on HBO. Well, if you don't subscribe to cable, if you're a cord cutter, you know, if you don't want to pay that premium, which is costly, you know, to have HBO here in the States, then you're out of luck. So people turn – that's why it's so torrented, because so many people have either A, cut the cord, or B, haven't cut the cord, but they don't want to pay for HBO because it is kind of costly. And, you know, they mainly only want to watch that show. So – it is a challenging, you know, situation. It would be nice if they just offered a la carte viewing and just charge for Game of Thrones. Yeah, I'd pay for that.
How much do you pay for that? How much do you pay for HBO over there?
I don't, you know what? I don't have HBO. I cut the cord. I'm one of those people. Okay. I don't.
So there's no actual alternative of getting a box installed instead of you can download an app, and there's no sort of alternative.
Yeah, the only way to do it, there's two ways around it. You can either install the HBO Go app, and then you'd have to know somebody and illegally use their login information and then watch Game of Thrones that way, or illegally download it. Those are the only two options, unless if you pay, you know.
What's it cost a month to use HBO?
And then in regards to the Facebook outage, go ahead, what?
What's the cost to use it a month?
What'd you say?
How much is it? The HBO, how much is it? Is it
HBO? I don't know. Maybe like $40-$50. Oh, maybe. Wow. Something.
Really?
I don't know.
Just for
you
that
know,
one channel?
What
really?
It would be?
You know, I also don't have cable, so I don't know.
Wow, okay. HBO, that's unbelievable.
I don't know how much HBO costs.
Wow.
It's not cheap. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it's definitely, you know, they tack it on top of your existing package.
I think you're right. I think it's about $40 or $50 a month on top of your cable monthly bill.
Okay. All right, Jenna, any other views?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, I'm back.
Well, I didn't even notice that Facebook went down.
Oh, no, you didn't know it went down.
Welcome back, Gus.
So what about you, Gus? Have you got any views on that as far as the box?
Hang on, I think
it's kind of interesting that we just got into a conversation about the ethics and online usage and who kind of makes the rules. That gets, you know, a little bit like a gray area. Well, who's deciding what's right and what's wrong? What you said, Andrew, about the walking into a store to buy a Ferrari was it right there. That should be the common ethics.
I think the problem is the rules are not updated for the way people are thinking. I mean, Napster, when that sort of came out, I think you sort of said, Michael, when that came out, it totally changed the way that we did things. And I think the problem is these installation companies, you know, cable TV companies, they want $100 a month for a product, and it's probably worth that. But we're so fickle these days, and, you know, our attention is so loose. that we as a consumer, we want to be a consumer pays society. We want to pay $1 or $2, you know, I'll take that. What's that come to? When we're moving away from this mindset of paying $100 a month for anything, because we look at that and we go, wow, that's so much money. Mm. But if we actually had exactly what we want, we'd probably pay $60 or $70 anyway. But that's not how our brain works anymore. And I think the challenge is these companies need to come up with a model that makes sense for today's consumer. But the challenge that they have is that their businesses are run on this thing of, we need 100,000 customers at $100 a month, which equals this much money to pay our bills. And if they go and make it so that you can only purchase so many shows, they're going to have a point where, you know, I'm only going to want to buy 4 shows a month, and that's only coming to $10. And they can't offer me an infrastructure that can pay for their business to operate at $10 a month. So they're kind of in the corner.
Yeah, I think that the music industry, when we had CDs, is kind of like how you're explaining how we're just kind of getting, you know, everything that they're offering, even if we don't want it. You know, and when we bought a CD, we might have wanted 1 or 2 songs on it, but we had to buy the whole thing. And then Napster came along, and that completely wiped out and changed the way the music industry sort of viewed, you know, music and how to monetize it. And I think that TV should sort of follow suit.
Well, actually, I think it's Apple that really started putting albums into individual songs. iTunes store, and then they started first I think it was albums, then finally they split it into individual songs, but maybe, or they helped it along anyway.
Okay, so Gus, what's your view on Foxtel? Have you got Foxtel, or do you think it's a ripoff, or what's your view on Foxtel?
No, I definitely don't think it's a ripoff. I like Foxtel myself, and it's just like Andrew's saying, the way it's set up and the models don't seem to be keeping up with the way the public is downloading things.
Right,
everybody's
yeah.
looking for direct access, easy access, things download quickly, and free things for sure, mm-hmm. because they become available so quickly. But it comes down to that base bottom line ethic on, is it right to take it just because it's there? Or is it right to kind of like change the opinion, just like anybody does? They stand up in a group and say, no, it's not right to take this service just because somebody created a way for them to take it.
Mm.
So somebody's created a service in business, somebody should just come up with a cheaper service, and then it becomes competitive.
Well, Foxtel Play is pretty cheap. I don't see what the problem with Foxtel Play is. That's pretty cheap. You know, you can try it for a month, and then, you know, if you don't like it, you can get rid of it. But I don't really know what's the problem. I don't really know why people are complaining about Foxtel that's so dear, or, you know, this sort of thing and so many ads. But, you know, they need to pay for the content and stuff and that sort of thing, and, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What about you, Andy? What's your view on? You do agree on about that, about the ads and stuff?
About what, sorry, with the ads?
About the ads?
On Foxtel?
Yeah.
I guess it's hard because we are a small, you know, we're a society of 24 million people. So to run the infrastructure across a country as big as ours, it costs more than things do in the US. I think we lose sight of that sometimes. You know, we're similar size in landmass to the US, but with less than 10% of the people. So it's going to cost more in Australia because of, you know, just paying for that sort of infrastructure. So advertising on Foxtel, it's kind of been there since day one. So I think it's, you know, you can't, I guess, sign up and complain about the ads. It's like moving in next door to a pub that's been there
exactly
for 20 years and complaining about the noise. You know, unless you were there first, it just doesn't cut. And the reality also is that most shows go for 22 minutes anyway, so, you know, 8 minutes worth of ads, you get up, you have a cup of tea, you go to the toilet or whatever. I think we're sort of used to what we're programmed for these days, so I don't see it as a major thing, but I do love that on Foxtel, sports and things like that run siren to siren, which is really great. If they started interrupting that with advertising, then I think there'd be a real problem.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also, with the IQ box, I don't want to mention Fox anymore, but with the IQ box... you can actually record the show and then watch it and then skip the ad. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, you can. So, there's a number of things there. And just moving on from that back to the Facebook stuff.
Go ahead, mate.
It's, it's quite interesting just how ingrained in our life it is. I mean, I saw that it was down. And as soon as I saw it was down, I went to Twitter and there were heaps of people tweeting. And then you messaged me, Brad.
Yep.
And I think, Jen, you were going to mention something about the Facebook as well a few minutes ago.
I think
I didn't even know it was down until reading the article. I had no idea I mean, I guess I've been too busy to notice.
It was down like it was down like for like 30 minutes, and yeah. Chris Perrella made some sort of tweet saying, "Let's all move to Google Plus now or something."
Well, probably a slow news week when we're talking about Facebook going down for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
was
definitely.
Was it down globally?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
It wasn't. I was totally unaffected by it. Must have been surfing.
Mm.
So I think we've got a couple of guests on today.
Brad, we do.
We've got Gus and Michael on. So
welcome, guys.
Yeah, welcome. We really appreciate you having on the show and jumping on and having a chat now. Gus, I believe you've got actually, just give us a quick rundown first about yourself and what you do. I think you used to be with Oakley, is that right?
Yeah. Years ago, I was the global marketing director for Oakley and working in youth action sports. So that kept me on the road about 300 days out of the year and traveling to a lot of different countries and special events all the way up to X Games and the Olympics and things like that. But it taught me a lot about what's happening in the youth culture around the world as opposed to in small areas or different countries. It really opened my eyes to things. So especially with the internet and the way social media is happening and all those sorts of things are starting to grow and really open the world, it just is something that really needs to be talked about. And yeah, this conversation, the ethics of what's happening online, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you've got a book coming out, which we'll touch on in just a moment. But you sort of said that using the internet, how did you find that sort of communications and technology really helped you keep in touch back home, I guess, with that much on the road, that much traveling?
Well, yeah. The fact that you are now in touch with people that you probably would have never been in touch with for your whole life because of whatever reasons, leaving grade school or just not having the time to mail a letter in the post, now you're in touch with people that you've known since you were 5, 6, 7, and 8 years old. I've got friends in my social media that have passed away, and they're still on there. Somebody else is using their page, so it's psychologically, it's really, really interesting what's happening to the world with the internet and social media.
All right. So, Gus, you do a lot of surfing, and you mean the X Games?
About 7 different X Games.
Wow. Tell us about that. Tell us about the X Games. What was it like?
Well, I was there as an athlete manager and supporting my team and helping them get their gold medals and to win these events.
Nice.
As skateboarding and snowboarding were really, really starting to bud and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see the expansion of social media and what's happened to those athletes and what athletes their opinions are about, as opposed to just what you see in a photo or an ad. So those experiences they're timeless now. There was only a few people there at the time that were helping that grow, and I was one of them, fortunately. And it just, wow. One of the reasons putting together this book with Professor Goose was to start finding a way to lay some foundation and some really good information for kids around the world and the kid in us all.
Nice one. And you also mentioned Zarfo in the book as well.
Yep, Zarfo's in there as one of the communication methods that these guys use, just an effort to let kids around the world understand that there are different ways to communicate online and kind of the ethics of how to do it and how these two characters use it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I've seen you use Zarfo a fair bit with your videos. They're great videos, Gus. And what's been your favorite surf spot at the moment?
Oh, geez. If I told anybody, the locals in the water would probably get mad at me, so I can't really expose the spots.
Okay, that's all right, that's all right. But what about...
Anywhere there's good waves, basically.
Okay. So do you surf every day?
Pretty much any day there's waves, yes.
Oh, nice one. Good on you, mate.
Crack of dawn, I'm out there 5:45 to about 7, and
wow.
It's incredible.
Have you seen any sharks?
I've been in the water with sharks, a couple of killer whales, seals, and lots of dolphins.
Oh, nice.
I like it when I'm in the water with the dolphins.
Good stuff. Jennifer, any questions for Gus?
Yeah, I'm curious. How did you start Yucky and Monsi? Like, how did that even begin? The website that you have in the
book? 15, 20 years ago, it just kind of got planted in my mind that there's a need for this. And these characters just kind of evolved, and through the travels, just seeing different things and hearing about people's different lifestyles, it created a storyline for characters that would be, I guess,
very inviting to people so that they can get in there and understand where it's coming from. And it just turned into a book series. So it's interesting how they develop. It wasn't really planned. It just started happening.
Hmm. That's very, very good. Well, good for you. And kudos for putting this out there.
No, thank you.
Oh, sorry, Andrew. Go ahead.
It's okay. Is there a target market that you're trying to sort of push the book through to?
If you looked at the cover, you'd probably say it's for the tween market, but it's for the kid in us all. If you were to compare it to like a C.S. Lewis series, The Chronicles of Narnia, it'd be like that for now and what's happening in nowaday time.
And how long did it take to actually put the book together?
Oh, geez. Years.
Oh, wow.
Gee.
Is it just a lot of research in the background?
Well, it's not so much the research, but it's just a life of things trying to, you know, put it all together and put it into a story format so people can understand where you're coming from. So it's just not words from all over the place. And then trying to create a series out of that with not many else other people involved, with strong storylines so people can get it. It just takes a lot of time, and growing family and trying to make ends meet at the end, you know, at the end of the day, you only have so much time.
You are a bit of a family man, aren't you, Gus?
Absolutely. Nothing better than my family.
Yeah, and I guess, do you see your children, you know, growing up and reading the book? And I guess for me, it's just a great thing to say, hey, look, there's more than, you know, them being a little, you know, idiot running around out there, and there's more to the world than internet and online and playing Xbox all day. This book is, I guess, an experience from you, from X Games, from surfing, from all of these sorts of things. And you're trying to say to young people, hey, I've been out there, I've been on tour, I've seen just how much fun it is, you know, how great the world can be. Why don't we put the Xbox down for a while, go outside, you know, and have a look, find some mates, go for a surf, go for a bike ride, push ourselves. And I think this is a really inspirational message in doing that, in that we try and empower some of today's kids to be, you know, I hate to say it, that probably makes me sound old, but to go through what we did growing up.
Yes, true.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's definitely a place for digital and things being online and the games and things, but there's also a place for getting off the couch and going and seeing the world.
Yeah, I agree. I think just I'm 27 right now, so growing up, we didn't really have the internet. So it's just so different from how you're growing up, you know, playing basketball and skateboarding or whatever with your friends, to now it's just a generation of people, you know, online communicating or, you know, playing video games together, and that's it.
Yeah, it's interesting what's happened to the world. And a lot of people with their heads down, headphones on, not looking at anybody in the eye, it's very unfortunate. You know, it changes the way people communicate around the world. So this is an effort to get people to, yes, do both, use all forms of communications, but start talking to people and start having those kind of relationships again. So it's not just a, hey, you're my friend from Facebook, but that's the only way, you know, I can talk to you via text. Send me an email. Well, how about, you know, let's go skate down the street or go surfing or something.
Yeah.
Steve, any questions for Gus?
It's interesting that you're bringing that up. You know, there's a whole world out there. And even looking at myself, I mean, I'm 40 years old, and so, you know, I grew up where, you know, computers were starting to get a grab hold. There wasn't really internet per se. And I still like doing things the old way. You know, I like reading real books, with a few exceptions. If I'm doing technical stuff, I like to and have to do it on a computer. Then I have the ebook on one side and my application the other, or something like that. So, I do have to do a lot of computer work because I have a tech show of my own, so I got to develop this so I know to do that. But sometimes I get tired of that. I want to do things the old-fashioned way or differently, just simply because I was doing that. And, of course, your book would help somebody growing up already in a computer literate world, you know, how to get away from that or use it outside of their, you know, outside of their, only use it as a tool and not just your, just your life.
Right, exactly. Just trying to, because that kid now that is growing it, like you said, is attached to the screen constantly. And they're getting inundated with so much information. If they can unplug just for a little while, have a read and see how it, you know, it was, it will, I think it will just inspire more creation and more invention and more ideas. It'll definitely go online, but it has to have a balance. Otherwise it gets out of balance and all kinds of stuff happens.
How much is the book, Gus? Is it, how much is it?
Oh, geez. It's on CreateSpace or Amazon for about $14.95, I think.
Okay. And where can you buy from? Just from Amazon or any other bookstores? Or?
Yeah, as a self-publisher, I just decided to take it online and run with it and see how it went. And I'm using, obviously, social media and all of those tools to get the word out there. I've had a hard time to find anything like it in the world, so that's one of the reasons I produced it and using the online tools to get it out there.
Nice
one. Hopefully it'll be nice for somebody to get off their computer for a second and open up a book. And you know, that is, you can curl up with a book, but it's hard to curl up with your laptop.
What about with an iPad? Can you, what's your view on an iPad, reading something on the iPad?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it will be downloadable soon, but I want to launch it kind of in an organic way. So okay. It's just a paperback and somebody carries it around in their pocket and reads it when they want to read it.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Andrew, any questions?
No, just I really recommend that people actually get the book. It's great. It's on Amazon. And, you know, get your kids to read it. Sit them down with, you know, a hot chocolate and just say, hey, look, it's great that you're doing what you're doing. But just have a look at this. I think a lot of kids these days almost feel boxed in, like they're meant to play Xbox. But I think if someone gave them a push and a nudge and gave them a basketball or a frisbee or, you know, a surfboard or something and just said, go out and have a go, I think a lot of them would really love to do it. But, you know, maybe they're just conditioned that that's not the common thing. It's you know, that's for other people. That's for the guys we watch at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, the Iron Man. It's not. It's, you know, you don't need to be a professional to do it. And I think this whole book is all about just trying to have fun and have a go. And Gus, with all of the experiences that you've had in your life as marketing for Oakley, traveling all around the world, I think there's probably a lot that you've put into that. And, you know, it's, you know, I won't say much more, but it's certainly worth having a look at.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Andrew, will you be getting the book for your for Miles?
Absolutely.
When he's bigger?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He'll love it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
congratulations on Miles, by the way. Well done.
Yeah, thanks for that, Gus. Appreciate it. It's been a funny old 4 or 5 weeks, but we're getting through it. Christy is a great mum, and she's doing a fantastic job with my little man, Miles. And, yeah, we're really loving it.
Nice. Make sure you get some sleep.
Sleep? What's that?
All right. No, really. All right, Andrew, who's the next guest? We have Michael on.
Yeah, we do. We've got Michael on, and Michael is from Anapad.com. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael, and Anapad.
So I started Anapad last year. I launched it in August, and it is a browser extension that lets you create URL-specific notes. So another way that a lot of people use it is creating personalized bookmarks for any of the sites that you visit. Sort of remember, you know, why you bookmarked the site in the first place. And, you know, you can save the notes, export the notes. And about a month ago, I took on a partner, and we are actually growing it to have, like, a social sharing side.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow, cool. So... Wow. I've used this tool, and I am a huge fan of this tool. I have it in my Chrome browser. I haven't put it in the Firefox yet, but I really love the fact because I can just bookmark a site from any site that I'm on, but not just that, but take notes on that site and then remember why that site was important for me. And the notes are really helpful. Like, I'm planning this trip, and I've been bookmarking all these different sites, but using Anapad and taking notes with it so I could remember why I was using this and why I was looking at that. And so now you're building social in it so that if I were to save a site, then I would be able to share it with everyone else?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah, so I took on this partner because he's really well-versed in actually programming and product creation. So him and his team are actually going to be able to write a whole social sharing site where people can sign up, they can log in, they can swap notes between each other, and it will be seamless, you know, between all the browsers. We're launching on Opera and Safari within probably a week or so. So we'll be on 4 browsers then.
It's wow, as Jen said, it's a really
so
fantastic
that's coming book. Soon.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many books. I've got 200, 300 bookmarks. And whenever you go to look for something, you can sort of never find it. And then as Jen said, you do find something and you're kind of like, well, what, you know, why did I bookmark this? What was this all about? You have to click on it, wait for it to load, flick through it. Just having it, I'm almost surprised that no one's sort of done it before. It's such a fantastic little concept, and it's going to make life so much easier for people, just being able to, you know, I guess do that, create these little notes and things, because I used to do it all the time manually, but now with Anapad I'm starting to do it, you know, and bolt it in, and it just makes life so much easier, not just for now but obviously for the future.
I might have to write my next book on there.
There you go.
That's right.
So, hey, Mike, are you thinking about making it so if I have multiple systems and I use Chrome on all these systems so that it syncs across different systems, like maybe that way, or?
Yeah, so that's going to be
more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be when we launch the social side, because what we're going to do is we're going to allow logins, and with the logins, mm-hmm. you know, you can then load all the bookmarks to, you know, whatever device you're in.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Steve, any questions for Michael?
Actually, it's a statement, and actually I was going to check my bookmarks. I literally have hundreds of bookmarks, and this browser extension actually would be very useful. Can you, like, also categorize into different groups? I don't know how far you can go with...
You know, that's actually going to be a feature along with being able to attach items. That's going to be like the next wave of features that we're unloading. But as of now, you cannot categorize them. You can sort them between, you know, the name, the date that you published the note, you know, and by the URL.
Yeah, I literally got, you know, dozens or hundreds or so many. I'll probably need to go through and delete some, but... it'd be excellent to be able to categorize them and, you know, just explore it, and that way I can narrow it down. And do you have some search where you can search bookmarks too?
Yeah. So we have a search bar in the extension itself. You can help, you know, search for whatever bookmark you're looking for.
And that's really helpful too, because, I mean, just because a page has a name, it doesn't mean that you're going to search that name when you go to look for it. Whereas if you actually create the notes, chances are when you go to search, you'll be using the same sort of logic in your head to search as the notes that you create. So it just makes a whole lot of sense there. And it's great to see, Steve, that you're asking questions, you know, hey, will it do this? What about this? And that's the exciting part, Michael, I guess, of where you are at the moment. You know, you've got a product that's out there. You know, let's have a look at it and get this sort of feedback from people and really direct where you want to take it. And I think it's fantastic, and I think it's going to do really well.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And where can they get hold of you, Michael, if they want to ask you any more questions?
They can tweet me at AnopadMike, which is A-N-N-O-P-A-D Mike. Yep. And then... right now, we're also updating the website, so we're about to use a temporary email address, which is anopadextension@gmail.com. Okay. Either way, you can get a hold of me.
Nice one. Andrew, let's talk about PAF for a minute. PAF got an update today, I think it was.
Yeah, they did, and it's not a bad update either. PAF Talk. There's a few functions on it though that are geared towards iPhone 5S, mm-hmm. but it's a really cool little update, and it allows you to do things like, obviously, it's quite location based, so it sort of shows you who's around you, what's going on. I've just clicked on status now, and it's showing me that Robert Scoble is on low battery.
Oh.
I don't know why that's relevant to me, but that's what they're showing.
Where did you see that? Where was that? In the app?
Yeah, on my PAF app. I just went to status, and it says I'm in Pasco Vale, and it's cloudy at the moment. Looking outside, that is accurate. I am in Pasco Vale, which is where I live, and it is cloudy. And the next thing down is Robert Scoble is low on battery.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that. That's cool. I like that. That's cool.
You know, which is interesting for the guy who carries around, you know, multiple quarter packs of battery. If I have a look at my clock and I go to World Clock, it'll show me that it's 8:30 p.m. in San Francisco. So it is low battery, Dave. Low battery time of night.
Okay. Jennifer, what about you? What's your view on the app? I think it's a nice app in the update.
I think now that I realize that you're probably talking about the app. Was there an Android update as well?
I think so, yeah. Just an iOS update? I think it's Android and iOS. They've also added a new app called Talk.
Okay, because I have it on both, and I haven't really played around too much with it, you know. But okay. I have been a PAF fan for quite a while, and then I kind of stopped using it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I'll give it a shot now. I'll give it another go since it has been updated. I've really been into that Slingshot app. I can't use it.
Because it's not in Australia.
I know, you can't get it in Australia.
That's wrong, isn't it?
That's the craziest thing. It's fun.
Is it?
It's kind of like Snapchat, but it's a little bit cooler. Yeah.
Is it? Okay. It's wonder fun. Why it's not in Australia yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. It should be. That's crazy that it's not.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
I've been addicted to that for the past few days.
Yeah. Explain what it does, Jennifer. The new Facebook app.
So Slingshot. Yeah, Slingshot is a new app by Facebook, kind of like a Snapchat, where it allows you to send photos to other people and videos, right, in little text messages. But the thing is if you receive one of these from one of your friends, you can't view it unless if you sling them a picture or a note or a video first.
Okay.
So it's like a sling for a sling. And it goes back and forth. So then you find it becomes addictive because you want to know what the person sent you, but then you have to send them something first in order for them to actually see it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but there's just a bunch of stupidness going on.
What about the Yo app, Jennifer?
I thought that was a lot of fun. I ended up deleting it.
Oh, really?
But you know, when you first showed me that app a few weeks ago, I was all about that. Yo, yo, yo. It was fun.
Yeah, I still use it today.
Stupid.
Andrew, you use it, don't you?
Yeah.
I installed it like when it first came out months ago as a beta, and then I took it off because it got a bit boring, but I've reinstalled it now. You know, they had 50,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And now they've got 500,000, one of the developers put up last night, or one of the owners, 500,000 subscribers. And, you know, the people who are behind that app, make no mistake, they're very, very, very clever people with marketing and PR. Ayla Knopf, I believe her name is. And it's a very simple app. I think what Yo does is it shows that people are just sick and tired of, you know, complex, does everything, isn't it wonderful and polished. Yo is kind of like, it's basic, it's no-brainer, it's easy, and away you go. And it was developed in the space of a day. So I think it shows that we're kind of, there's so much noise around us that something clear and simple with clarity has got a chance. Whether it's a long-term app, I doubt it, but I know that they are working on a number of things in the background at the moment to engage brands and so forth. So it'll be interesting.
Okay. What about you, Gus? What sort of apps do you use on your phone? Do you use Yo or PAF or what are them? Twitter?
No, I'm kind of stuck on Zorfo at the moment.
Okay.
It's wow.
Good answer.
It's the truth. It works really well. And the fact that people can text you while you're while you're doing what you're doing, I just haven't found anything that's like that.
Yeah.
And I'm always looking for something that's practical that I'll use and that I'm really into and I can have a play with, and that's the one.
Nice one.
I get stuck on ones for a while, and that's it.
What you have an iPhone 5S or an iPhone 5 or?
I'm old school. Listen to me. I'm a 4 guy.
Oh, you're an iPhone 4. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, way good back in time.
Good stuff, man. Good on you. Good on you. Way to go. Steve, what about you?
Oh, what kind of apps? Oh, geez.
Well, do you use Yo or Path or them?
Oh, not really. It's funny. I don't use like a lot of multimedia stuff. Usually it's like the blog news, you know, the social networking and things like that. Usually if I'm going to watch a video, I'd rather watch it sitting down on the couch or, you know, something like that. Or yep. Even by my computer I am now, but not necessarily a mobile device unless it's a really relative video that I need to watch. Or actually, I did watch – I was at work, and it was like last year's keynote from Apple.
Okay.
And so, I'm like, oh, I got to watch this during break or lunch, and I was like streaming it because, you know, I didn't want to miss it. So in certain cases like that, then I'll use it, something like that.
Nice one. Now, you also got a new phone too, didn't you, Steve? The
Well, it's I had it for a while, but I was waiting till the contract expired. I'm using Straight Talk on an iPhone 5S because I want no contract. I keep on going over. I got to pay extra, and I'm like I'm tired of that. In fact, I got my phone bill prepaid for the next 3 months.
Wow,
which is cheap enough, and you know I don't have to worry about oh damn I forgot to pay or you know I can prepay as long as I want to a year. If I want to, or 6 months, or whatever.
Wow. What do you pay for that?
Straight Talk?
Yeah.
I think it's 45 a month, unlimited, you know, data and texts. And I didn't have a text message plan, so I have to pay per text.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't text much. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I like about iMessage. It's free. You know, most people I know got iPhones, so, you know, iMessage is good.
Does anybody have an idea on what's the best phone plan?
Well, it depends on what provider you want to go to. What provider are you on at the moment?
Oh, I use a MyaSIM, and it has been absolutely amazing because I've never had a problem.
What's it called?
A MyaSIM.
Oh, okay. I never heard of it.
Yeah, it's like $39 a month, unlimited. And if you ever like run over your minutes, you just text them the amount that you want to add to it.
Yeah, that's all right.
I've never... in the time I've had a problem.
Mm. Yeah, I recommend Optus is good.
I think it's through Optus.
Okay. Yeah, Optus has just put out some new plans just recently. They're really good, really good value.
Yeah. No contracts, nothing. Gosh, the contract thing.
Andrew, you're on Vodafone, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm with Vodafone. Not a huge fan of Vodafone, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm probably looking at moving to Telstra or Optus.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Vodafone's not good. What about the new phone, Amazon phone, Andrew? What's your view on that?
I've had a bit of a look at it. I really appreciate that Amazon are trying to be innovative. They've got a number of things in their 3D recording and stuff like that. I think it's fantastic because they're trying to push the envelope on a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really difficult for a player like Amazon to come up with a phone because they're surely going to be pushing people, you know, to Amazon, you know, buy our products, do this, check this out. And I don't know if I like that. I'd much prefer someone who's agnostic to those sorts of, you know, selling approaches. But, you know, there's a phone out there. It's a busy yep. marketplace. They're going to try it. And they've actually put a few innovations into the phone, which is great, rather than just sort of, you know, re-releasing, you know, hardware. Good on them. I don't think it'll work, but I'm all for them having a shot.
Jennifer, what about you? Will you be getting one to review from your phone provider?
I will not be.
Oh, you won't be?
Getting one. It's only available on one carrier. It's not available on all carriers.
That's right. Okay.
I won't get one.
Okay, then. Well, let's wrap up. Andrew, Gus, what's your final view of this show, and where can they get hold of you, mate?
All right. Most amazing show I've ever been on.
Thank you.
And you can find me at either yucky.com, which is yuccki.com, or professorgoose.com. And it's an essential book of good.
Nice one.
Hope you enjoy it.
Yep, we will. And cool names, by the way. Great names. Love the name.
Yeah, and that's on the Amazon store. So yep. Just type in Yucky, YUCCKIE. Is that right?
Yep. I'll put the link in the description.
Yeah, and we'll chuck the link up in the description.
Yeah, definitely. Michael, what about you? What's your final view of the show? And you want to mention where they get hold of you?
Yeah, I loved it. thank you so much for having me again,
no problem.
Guys. I really appreciate it. Anyone that wants to get in touch with me, they can go on Twitter. My Twitter name is @AnopadMike. And then, like I said, you can email anopandextension@gmail.com.
Okay, cool. All right, check that out and download it and, yeah, use it. The plugin's good. Nice plugin. Steve, what about you?
Actually, I found this to be a very interesting show. There were interesting guests, not only what they're doing, but they were very insightful into a lot of the tech news we covered as well.
Yep.
And you can find me at Chatterbox_Live and, of course, on JustinTV/LinusCoolDude. And you can also watch the live show, or you can go on the techwebcast.info
yep.
website, catch the live version as well.
Definitely. And also, we're nearly at the turn of the show, Steve.
What's that?
We're nearly at the turn of the shows.
300, wow.
We're almost. Nearly getting there.
Okay.
Getting there, mate. Almost there. Thanks for the clap. Jennifer, what about you?
I thought the show was outstanding. Great guests tonight and great news stories that you picked as always, Brad.
Thank you,
Tom. So thank you for that. And you're welcome. And then as far as where you can find me online, I'm at jenniferruggiero.com, and then also be certain to check out my podcast, getnerdywithit.com.
Definitely. And you'll be on, maybe on next week, you're away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I will be on a plane next week during the show.
Cool.
So I'll be gone for about 3 weeks or so.
Okay. You'll be back in time just for the
2.5-3 weeks.
Okay. All right. Andrew, you want to say anything to Jennifer before she goes?
Yeah.
Enjoy your time away, Jennifer. And just enjoy it.
Yep.
Relax. Take some time out. Recharge the batteries. And we look forward to having you back on when you get back around.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely have fun, Jennifer, over there. And yeah.
All right, I'll miss you guys. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah. Thanks.
And thank you for being on. Thanks, Gus. Thanks, Michael. Steve,
and
Andrew.
If you want to get a hold of me, you can get me on the Zarpho app @Andrew. And you can also get me Facebook and Twitter as Cunning Drew. And download the Zarpho app from the App Store. And also have a look at What Time Football Schedule if you're into the Soccer World Cup and want to keep an eye on what time games are starting in your time zone.
Oh, that's made by David, right?
It's made by all of us at the Zarpho team. We took a week out and made it for a friend of ours. And, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, sweet.
And just something to keep a bit, fresh at the office. We really enjoyed it.
Maybe that's something new you can maybe start in, maybe, Andrew, doing apps, maybe.
Yeah, look, we've thought about that as well, taking on a couple of customer jobs here and there just to obviously bring a few more dollars in and keep things a bit fresh, because it can be, like any working environment, it can be a bit dull sometimes.
Definitely.
Working on the same thing constantly.
Well, I know Tech Webcast needs an iPhone app.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that might be another little option to get involved in.
Maybe you should let them know when we do need one.
Okay. I'll have a chat to the guys and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys, for being on. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @TechWebcast. And, of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!